This week, I was confronted with a temptation. And it's one of those temptations that maybe y'all have dealt with. And it's the greater good. I went to a buffet this weekend. Or not this weekend, but this week. And some of y'all laughing and know where this is going. I had some excellent plate of food. And then I had a second plate. And I says, you know what? I have never had some rice with black-eyed peas on it, yellow rice with black-eyed peas. And it looked really tempting from them. I've had it before, but never from this buffet. I says, let me try that. So I went and I got two rice bowls or two spoonfuls of rice and put some black-eyed peas on it. And I says, man, this is really good. And then I got down and I finished that plate. I says, you know, that was so good, I think I ought to go get another plate. I was really tempted to do that. And you know what? A battle came up in my mind. And I'm saying, all right, God wants, and look at this. This is godly justification. God wants us to be good stewards of his money. And Stephen, you paid a pretty penny to go in here and eat a buffet. So here you are. Can you fit more rice in your stomach? And I says, yeah, I could. And I said, you know what I need to do? I says, okay, I don't need that. I am full. I don't need another plate of black-eyed peas and rice. And there's that battle. Well, you got to be a good steward. The more you eat, that means the less you paid for it. So I resisted the temptation. But it's a temptation too many times. We as believers and I think often people who don't believe in God have that same temptation of what to do. What is the right thing and what is the wrong thing? This morning, I'm going to ask that y'all make a commitment to the Lord this morning as we open in prayer, that you'll make this commitment to the Lord, saying, Lord, when you show me something, when you reveal to me a part of my life that I have not been faithful in, a part of my life where I have justified personally without your blessing, and I'm doing something that you say is wrong, and I've ignored you, I've rebelled against you, or whatever the case may be, that when the Lord speaks to you about you this morning, you'll commit to the Lord, say, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. I will do what you've asked me to do. So let's ask the Lord bless us this morning and seal this commitment. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins and sending your Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That gives us the ability to distinctly say, this is right and this is wrong. Father, we ask your blessing on this lesson this morning. Work through me to bring the burden of your heart. Give us your eyes, your ears to hear what you're talking to us about this morning. Give us the sensitivity of your heart because you created us and you want us to be more like you. In your Son's holy name we ask it. Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to bring up a topic that everybody is affected by. For some, it will be a heated battle. And for others, it will be a quick victory. Half the time, a person doesn't even recognize that they're in the middle of a battle for the condition of their soul until it's too late. This morning's topic, we're talking about temptation. Giving in or getting out. For the longest time in my life, I thought that when I was tempted, that I was sinning. If this is you this morning, I've got good news for you. The temptation isn't the sin. It's the giving in of the temptation. So, simply put, what exactly is temptation? Simply put, temptation is the confrontation of a desire, your desire, of your body, soul, or spirit to do something contrary to what you know is good or bad, right or wrong. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, you will have temptation occur in your life. This trial, this testing or proving of your decision to choose good is in your control. But it's a choice you have to make. This morning, I'd like to bring out some scriptures that will help us pass this test of temptation. And the first thing is that temptation that you and I face is not anything special. The temptation that you think, oh, you don't understand my temptation. Mine's a special kind of temptation. Mine's something that no one else knows, no one has ever faced. Let me share some scriptures with you this morning that will give you a choice. You either believe that in your mind, say, this is special. This is something that's only for me, or you'll believe what the Word of God says this morning. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Every temptation that you have is a garden variety temptation. Everybody at someone at some point in time has had that temptation. But God has provided a way for you to make the right choice. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And I want you to look at this. I want you, if you have a highlighter in your Bible, highlight this, because when there's a temptation that comes up against you, you can say, this is the Word of God. It's not the word of Steve. It's not the word of mom or dad. This is the Word of God that you're reading. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, you read that in your Bible this morning. It's the Word of God. And you should be picking up from this and says, there is a way to escape from making the wrong decision. But the question is, will you look for it? We have the promise of God saying, yes, there's a way, but will you look for it? Will you choose to satisfy the flesh and cave into the sin? Or will you take a stand on what is right? I recall a story of an apple farmer going down his apple orchard. And he gets to the end of the orchard near the road, and he sees this little boy, 7 to 10 years old, sitting under an apple tree. And he looked at the boy, and the boy looked kind of suspicious. And he brought up to the boy and says, he says, young man, are you trying to steal an apple? And the boy had guilt on his face. He says, no, I'm trying not to steal the apple. One of the best ways to win the war in a temptation is to not be there. The easiest way for that child not to steal an apple is don't be in the orchard, let alone under the tree. When there is a desire to give into a particular sin, get out of Dodge. Take a look at a couple of verses we're going to go over tonight, or this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Second Timothy 2 and 22. And I want you to notice this first word. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do you notice it says flee? It doesn't say fight. It says, flee, run from, get away from it. There are a lot of people say, oh, I can take it. I'm a strong man. God and I are close. I can take this. I'm going to stand in the middle of this temptation. I'm going to toy with it. Listen, I'm going to tell you this morning what the Bible says. The Bible says doesn't say to fight it. It says flee from it. There was a man by the name of Joseph who was confronted with temptation. And we're about to read about him if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 39. He had this battle and Joseph won. This man was sold into slavery by his brothers, considered dead by his father, hundreds of miles from home, and for all intents and purposes, he could have said, held up his fist to God and said, God, you've forsaken me. I'm going to live life the way I want to live it, footloose and fancy. All the values my father taught me is baloney. Look where it's gotten to me. I'm nowhere close to home. I'm a slave for this guy. He could have said all that. But he didn't. He didn't give a second thought to it. One of the biggest things that the devil likes to do is to take away the blessings or the memory of the blessings of God, of how he's seen you through things the whole time. God saw you through this problem and this problem and this problem. He comforted you in this area. He healed you in this area. He worked this out for you. And one of the biggest things that the devil wants to do is to make you forget all of those things and remember just the bad times. Joseph wasn't like that. Joseph recognized who God was in his life. He recognized the faithfulness that God had seen him through all these things. And because of that faithfulness, he says, I am going to be faithful to the things that God says, this is right and this is wrong. If you would look at we'll start reading in verse 2 of Genesis 39. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made him all that he did to prosper in his hand. I love the fact that God blessed him. Here was a man says, I love God. God is the center of my life. If God says it's right, it's right. If God says it's wrong. I'm going to follow God. Yes, my brothers have done this to me. Yes, I'm in this predicament. Yes, all these bad things have happened to me. But you know what? God has seen me through every one of them, and I'm going to be faithful. And that faithfulness caused a closeness to Joseph that not many people experience, not many people see because they fail that test of temptation. But it was wonderful to see that Joseph did. And because Joseph was faithful, God blessed him. And because God blessed him, people, he had a testimony. He says, boy, that man Joseph, he loves the Lord, God Almighty. I'm going to hire him. I'm going to promote him. And when that happens, God blessed him and God blessed the family that Joseph was a slave to. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Why? For Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that Joseph in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. This master of Joseph says, boy, Joseph is so close to God, I don't have any worries. I don't even have to check my bank account. According to the Bible, it says, all that this master knew was he had bread in front of him, and there was enough for him to be filled. If he wanted more one day, it was there. The Lord blessed him. He says, boy, this man Joseph, I need more people like him. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. I can tell you, anytime God's blessing, there's someone that is not very happy, and the devil's going to try and ruin your day. And here he goes. Potiphar's wife starts looking at Joseph. Boy, that's a good-looking guy. I like him. He's great shape. Goes to Joseph, says, lie with me. Sleep with me. Have an affair with me. What does Joseph do? Verse 8, and he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth or wouldeth not that is within that is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph immediately exposed this, says, listen here, Miss Potiphar, that's wrong. God has blessed me, God has blessed Potiphar, and he has promoted me above everything in the house. Every servant I am in control of. He's blessed me with it. And he has kept one thing back from me, and that's you. One thing I can't have, and that's you. And he exposes it to her and says, look, that is wrong. But you know what Joseph says? He doesn't say, what a great wickedness it would be against your husband. He says, what a great wickedness it would be against God. He saw not that it would be a sin vertical to his brother or horizontal to his brother or his master. He says, before God, this would be a wickedness. It's wrong. No. Most powerful word in the language, English language. No. Verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. This just wasn't a one-time event. Potiphar's wife kept after him. Joseph, lie with me. Boy, you're looking so good, Joseph. Boy, are you working out? Man, how do you keep yourself so fit? Is that a new cologne that you're wearing? Every way he could to get, she could get him to succumb to her temptation. But he didn't give in. You know, there are some people that would say, God, I've prayed, get me out of this temptation. Get me out of this temptation. Stop it. You know, there are some people that say, you know what? This must be from the Lord. This is the door that God has opened. This is an affair that I need to have because God hasn't taken the temptation away. Listen, God didn't change his rules and his laws to say having an affair with a married woman, fornication or adultery, still has the same definition as it did the day before that, as the day before that, as the day before that. Joseph says, God said it's wrong. No, no, no. He endured. If you would, turn to James chapter 1. Don't succumb to saying, oh, because God hasn't taken the temptation, oh, that I'm supposed to give in to it. Because you don't see that there's a door. This is the only door I've got to go through. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say he is tempted. I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And I can guarantee you, your own lust can be there and it'll go you so far, and I can't tell you what, the devil's there to light the match to entice you that much further. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And look what it says in verse 16. Do not err. Don't make the mistake, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That isn't the gift. That adulterous affair isn't the gift. That giving into that temptation that you know is wrong is not the good and perfect gift that God has given you. God hasn't changed his mind about sin. God's standard is the same as it was before. God hasn't changed. Sin is still sin. If you would turn back to Genesis 39. Let's finish this portion about Joseph. Genesis 39, and we left off in verse 10, but we'll begin reading in verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought a Hebrew in unto us to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. It came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Joseph said, this is it. I've got to get out of here. She physically came to him and says, lie with me. Have this affair or else. Well, there's a decision there that Joseph had to make. I will either be true to God, I will either love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and agree with him and say this is right or this is wrong. And in this instance, it was wrong. Or I sleep with my boss's wife. He says, I got to get out of here. No, I'm leaving. Joseph did the right thing. He didn't fight the temptation. He fled from it. Listen, he made a choice and it cost him a prison sentence. A wrongful reputation that would eventually be redeemed. He kept his purity intact and the importance of his relationship with God was not severed by the sin. I was 17 years old, working at a fast food restaurant. And as most high school guys at that age, he says, I would love to have a girlfriend. I would love to have that perfect girl, that helpmeet, that individual to share the rest of my life with, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, the relationship. I wanted that. And I committed that to the Lord, even before I was 17. And I made a commitment to the Lord. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to be what you've asked me to be. I'm going to be the salt. I'm going to be the light. I'm going to live the life that you told me to live. I'm going to do my best I can do it. And for a Christian going into an environment that, for a young person, a teenager, to say that's right and that's wrong, that doesn't cave to things that they know, that the world knows is wrong, it sends out waves. It sends out, wait a second, there's something different about that guy, Steve. He goes to church every Sunday. He asked me to church every Sunday. He's one weird dude. I even seen him putting little gospel tracks in the break lounge. There came a time when it actually earned respect. It was a badge of it was really a badge of respect for most of the people I worked with. Most of those young people says, I've seen true people who love God, and I've seen false people who love God. I've seen people who live the life, and I've seen people who say they live the life. And for most people I worked with, they respected me. When it came to using foul language, they would hush up. And if they let a word slip, I'm so sorry, Steve, as if God was there with me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But there were others that the devil had other plans for. Whenever a Christian decides to say, take a stand and say, this is right and this is wrong, the devil is not too happy. And like he was with Joseph, the same story happened with me. He sent others to try and test, to tempt me, to break that fellowship I had with him, to do a sin. Let's see if I can get Steve to do a sin. Let's see if I can get him so frustrated that just one little curse word comes out. Just to let that anger boil up into him and just spew out. There was one incident where there was this young lady, very beautiful, blonde hair, brown-eyed girl. And she knew that I had a relationship with the Lord. And somehow it got out and says, I'm saving myself for my wife, my future girlfriend, my wife-to-be, whenever that would occur. And she had other plans. I was in the break room. This young lady comes up to me, and she holds out in her hand a condom. And she says, Steve, I want to be your first. I want to be the person who takes away your virginity. Here's a young person who says, I want that person, Lord. I told her, and I says, look, that's wrong. That's adultery, that's a fornication, that's a sexual sin that God says, no, you save yourself for your mate. You know what? I got so mad. I went into the freezer to chill off. I got so mad, and I didn't know this at the time, but it was years later that I recognized that was a battle between the flesh and the spirit. That was a battle that says, Steve, you're confronted with a choice. Your flesh says, boy, that's a beautiful young lady. And how often do young ladies come to you asking to sleep with you? To that say, oh, you're good looking. You're attractive. You're worth something. Meanwhile, the whole devil's saying, Steve, you're worthless. You're not that good looking. You're not rich. You can see this flesh and this battle going back and forth. But it's a choice that I had to make. She already made her choice. It's time to make my choice. And I made it. I told her, I says, that's wrong. First John chapter 4, verse 4. How is it that sometimes you have that strength, or you think that you have that strength, or you do have that strength, and you say, I can do this. And it's no question in your mind, I know I've made the decision, this is wrong. I will not do this. We made a commitment to God and said, and it's very clear, it's verbally, God, my life is yours. The Holy Spirit is what gave me the strength to say no. I made a commitment to Him and He gave me the strength to do it. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That power, that strength wasn't Steve. And that was pretty obvious. Because I had a big argument in the freezer with myself. The Bible says greater than he that is in with you. And it was in Him that was in me that gave me the ability to do what I needed to do and say, no, this is wrong. Listen, don't keep those things that tempt you in your house. Don't keep those things that tempt you within reach or in reach of all of others in your house. Don't let it be there. The Bible points out a very, very vivid scenario. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. We'll begin reading in verse 7. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way of her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, she's outside, now in the streets, and lieth wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I've paid my vows. Therefore came I to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works and fine linen. She says, I've made my bed. It is the most beautiful bed you've ever find. It's the sweetest smelling bed you can ever imagine. And we can share it together. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take fill of our love until morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. The husband's not here. He's on a long journey, and he taketh a bag of money with him, and he will not come home at the day appointed. In other words, it says, my husband's gone. He took the cash, and he took a lot of it. That means he's going to be gone a long time. No worries. We can get away with it. No one will know. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to slaughter, or as a fool to correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. This paints a perfect picture. If he had never been there, that late, that avenue, if he had been at home where he should have been, none of that would have occurred. But let me ask you another question, because of the outcome of this. The Bible says, as an ox goeth to slaughter. How many oxen do you see coming back from the slaughterhouse? That's something to think about. Listen, you may be going through battles right now, dealing with temptation. It doesn't matter what type. God can deliver you out of the temptation. But you need to be willing to listen to Him. Let me give you some encouragement this morning. 2 Peter 2:9. Get this verse. Look at this verse and just memorize it. If God makes a promise, don't you think you ought to remember it? If God says something in His Word, Steve, if you do this, this is going to happen. Oh, Steve, let me tell you something. Look, here, you got to see this. This is so wonderful, Steve. Okay, Lord, what is it? And then He blesses you with something like this verse. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Did you hear what the Word of God says? He says, the temptation that you're going through, He knows how to get you out. Doesn't matter what temptation is, He knows how to deliver you. Some of us this morning say, I may never get victory. And you may be right. Because you have never started the relationship with Jesus Christ that needs to be there. You have never received His strength, His power to overcome those things. Remember that verse that says, greater that is He that is in you than he that is in the world? You have never asked that greatness to come into you, to give you His strength, His power to overcome those temptations. You've never asked for forgiveness. You may not even say, I don't need Jesus as a Savior. And because you don't see that need, you will never get the victory. Because you're still a servant of sin. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In verse 16. Know you not that whom you yield your bodies, yourselves, servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether it be sin unto death, or whether it be obedience unto righteousness. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being made free from sin and become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. He puts it on a line drawn in the sand, says, whoever you yield yourself to, that's your servant. You're going to yield yourself to God, you're going to obey Him. You're going to yield yourself to sin, you're going to listen to it, and you're going to obey it. Jesus was alone, 40 days fasting. If you would turn to Luke chapter 4. 40 days He was fasting. That fast had finished and He was hungry. I think anybody after 40 days of not eating any food would be pretty hungry. And the Bible says He hungered. The devil knew when to attack. So he goes to Jesus, tempting Him on three different accounts. And I want you to see how Jesus defeated the devil in these temptations. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And God answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There's the first scenario where that temptation hit. Verse 5, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world at a moment in time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the power and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Temptation number two. Hopefully, I'm hoping you've got your detective hats on this morning and you're saying, well, wait a second. Jesus, first time, second time. Well, what's the third commonality? Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. And it was written, so this is the devil now quoting scripture, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Although it's taken out of context, he left a lot of things out. In all their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. How did Jesus get the victory? Now, some of us may say, well, by quoting scripture, right? Not primarily. Primarily, he got the victory by resisting. He used scriptures to resist. James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6, and we'll close with this. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your heart, laughter, be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. This morning, you may be here and have been given into temptation because you haven't been resisting. God can cleanse you from those. God can restore that relationship and make it white as snow. But the choice is yours this morning. That temptation that you're dealing with, that temptation maybe you're not even dealing with, you're just playing with it. And you haven't committed it to the Lord. I can deal with it. I'm strong enough. Listen, you're not strong enough. The Bible says flee from these things. This morning, if the Lord has spoken to you about things in your life, things that you're holding on to, he says, you know that's hurting you. You know the right thing and you're giving in. Don't hold on to it anymore. Give it to God this morning. This morning we're going to have an invitation where you can take what the Lord has told you to do and bring it to Him. No one can make that decision for you. God is not going to force you to your knees. God is not going to say, you must do this. It's a choice. It's a reflection of your love for Him. How deep is your love this morning? Or should I say, how shallow is our love this morning for Him? That's your choice. During this time, take what the Lord's spoken to you about and bring it to Him. Don't hold on to it. Get the victory this morning. This morning, the decision's been yours. I can't stress enough. Don't walk out those doors without knowing Christ as your Savior. We're not given 15 minutes as soon as we leave these doors, this church. We're not given it before we even get the doors. Give your life to Christ. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Give your life to Him. Let Him strengthen you to give the victory in your life. Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. That great love that you've shown us, let it reign in our lives to others. Let the things that break your heart break ours. Let us have the sensitivity necessary to be more like you. We pray for those who made decisions this morning that you would just be with them. Draw them closer to your side. Stir their hearts to seek you daily. And those that are battling, giving things to you, Lord,